All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Human Progress and How to Win. This is episode 15, titled, This Could Be Our Future, Magic Angle Graphene, A New Energy Storage System, and the World in 2030. All right. Well, it is New Year's Day, so Happy New Year's, everyone, 2020. Wow. So it's a special, you know, new decade. I'm really looking to bigger and better things this year. So I hope you all are too, that this, you know, that's what this podcast is all about. Inspiration and getting after it, hearing about new, exciting opportunities, you know. So we're going to bring you a few here today. One update, I have a new microphone that I'm going to try out. I'm not using it right now, but over the weekend, my brother and his wife surprised me with one because they heard I was doing this podcast. So that was really special. Really appreciate it. Shout out to them. I have it kind of hooked up. It's just, you know, figuring out the audio is kind of difficult. So hopefully by the next episode, I'll have the microphone up and running. So, all right, let's get into it. So I literally just rewatched most of these. So let's start with a couple of the Seeker. So I mentioned, you know, quite often the Seeker YouTube channel. They have two videos that I want to highlight today. They're both about 5 minutes long, pretty short. I will definitely include the links in the description. So let's do this one here. So this is the new kind of energy storage solution. And the title of it is This New Tech Could Revolutionize How We Store Renewable Energy. Okay, so it's all about, air compression into... So compressed air energy storage is a kind of a new system that could really work with renewable energy storage. So what it is, there's a company that they highlight. Let me actually, this is where she kind of gives a definition of it. So let's try to, I'm going to cue it up and hear her explain it.
Air seems to be sweeping some in the energy sector off their feet. Compressed air energy storage, or CASE, takes advantage of air's ability to be stored in the form of elastic potential energy until we're ready to use it. Lauded as a sustainable way to make renewables the world's go-to energy source, this storage system could be the one we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, so it's a little confusing, but basically you can store like in compressed air energy store underground. So stored, like she said, in the form of elastic potential energy until we're ready to use it. So I know that I had... So there's a company in Canada called HydroStore that's doing this. So I have their website queued up here. So Advanced Compressed Energy Storage. I'm going to just kind of read a little bit about them. HydroStore is a leader in advanced compressed energy storage, a technology uniquely suited to enable the transition to a cleaner, more reliable electricity grid. Okay. There's just a, you know, about page. You can read more about that, and I will include that link. Let me just play a little bit more of this video. Here's where she talks about HydroStore and how they actually do it.
There's actually only been two plants built to date, but the Canadian company HydroStore still thinks that renewables and CASE, or rather what they call advanced CASE, make a perfect pair. While their core idea is nothing new, their approach is different. Rather than relying on salt caverns to store air like conventional CASE systems, HydroStore can also use hard rock caverns, which can be built at practically any site. Using subsurface caverns that are connected to a ground-level water reservoir, compressed air is sent down to the cavern to be stored, displacing water up a shaft to the reservoir. When there's a power need, water is allowed to flow back into the cavern, forcing the compressed air back to the facility. This technique.
So basically, instead of using salt caverns, they can just do it in rocks, so like mountains, or like, you know, it's probably a little bit more versatile. So here's where a little bit before I want to play just a little bit earlier in the video.
And improved, but there are a few things holding it back. Conventional case systems require having a place like an existing or solution mined rock cavern that's big and stable enough to store compressed air at a high pressure. This geographical limitation has meant that the technology can't always live where grid needs are greatest. Then there's the issue of...
So basically it's just a little bit more versatile. You don't have to have existing mines or these caverns. This hydrostore can do it kind of like almost just a little bit more places where it's not already built. So it's a little hard to explain. I don't know this sector very well. So just take a listen to it yourself and see, check out this company's website. See if they have a careers page, I see. So if I just go to it, just because I'm curious too, a project manager, they say. It looks like what all they list right now. But still, I mean, it's you can just email them, careers@hydrostore.ca. And, if you are a geologist, if you are some kind of environmentalist, environmental science, see what you can do. Contact them and because I think this is really cool. This is one to pay attention to, 2020s, we really have to think about these good alternative energy companies. So yeah. All right, we got to move on. So let's move on to the next seeker video. And this is called Magic Angle Graphing is Back with an even bigger twist. So that's a pretty funny title because that's what they do. So there's this institute, the Institute of Photonic Sciences in Barcelona is kind of the main institution that they talk about in this video. So basically what they did, graphene is kind of a long talked about substance for electronic devices being kind of, we may move to graphene to be kind of like the next big revolution in electronic devices and energy. So what they did here is... I just want to actually read a little bit about graphene itself. It's a single atom thick layer of carbon, and it forms a hexagonal lattice pattern. It gives it certain exciting properties like being more than 200 times stronger than steel, but flexible and transparent and highly conductive. So what they did here... they put two layers of graphene on top of each other and twisted them at exactly 1.1 degrees. They cooled this graphene structure to just above absolute zero. They applied a strong electric field and found that not only these graphene bilayers are highly conductive, but that they exhibit alternating areas of conductivity and insulation. So thus the scientists saw graphene bilayers behaving like a superconductor. So here's where she's in this video, she's going to talk about how this could be used for electronics.
Changing the current running through the device, scientists could turn states on and off, which is exciting for many reasons. It could make these materials really useful inside electronics, as they're controllable in much the same way that our current electronics are. They're tunable. But this new research is also a step towards solving the mystery of exactly how this happens. Work like this lets us explore and manipulate the microscopic world inside graphene devices, allowing us to better understand how this material works and how we can use it. In addition to further...
Take a listen to this whole video. It's really interesting. So it's like 4 minutes, 27 seconds long. Again, it's a little depth even for a 4 minute video. I'm again not really in this field, but I think this could be really one to pay attention to. it's just kind of a new breakthrough in graphene as a superconductor. Because again, you know, these chip makers, you know, Intel and all them, like, you know, using what is existing today, you know, Moore's law and everything, you know, it's slowing down. Okay, we're gonna have to move towards a huge, you know, a shift off of, you know, computing is gonna just take a huge leap. You know, that's why I want to include these videos, because hardware is now more than ever, we have to pay attention to new hardware breakthroughs, because, you know, data storage, energy storage, computing, as we know it, we've been doing kind of the same things for, you know, the last decade. Well, 2020s and beyond, we're going to have to think, you know, bigger, more, you know, differently. So again, that's the Institute of Photonic Science in Barcelona. I think that's because, again, I don't do these summaries a very good justice, so I only know so much. I don't want to play too much of it. So just take a listen to this and see if you can contact. I don't know if this. So it's icfo.eu. I'll definitely include the link. I don't know if there's like a careers page, or these kind of institutes aren't really like companies, so they don't really have jobs. But if you are a, you know. Well, looks like they have PhD programs, master studies. Like, if you're a student still in these fields, you know, yeah, you can always contact. So there are, okay, I'm looking at the quick links. There's contact page and there's job openings and fellowships. So if you're interested, you know, I think this is going to be big. So try to see what you can do. Contact them. Okay, moving on. Let's see. We're about 12 minutes in. I wanted to get to, yeah, two more. So let's go to the This Could Be Our Future video. This is through from, it's another YouTube video from A16Z channel, the A16Z, you know, VC firm, Andreessen Horowitz. So who is this guy? Frank Chen, he's an operating partner at A16Z. He did this talk. It's 38 minutes, so this one's a little longer. It's kind of like, it kind of, I like this story. So he uses his daughter as kind of, you know, a young tech worker in the 2030s and goes through kind of like what a day in the life of a tech worker in the 2030s is going to be like. So from like the time she wakes up to the time she goes to bed. All of these new breakthrough tech, he goes through about five different ones or something. Starting off with a smart toilet that like analyzes the urine, like for, you know, again, see how kind of healthy she is. I don't know if I'll play parts of it. Maybe I don't really have anything queued up here, but, let's see, there are a couple ones. Well, what made this whole video interesting is that, boy, it's like, I thought I had like really good ideas for like future tech, you know, stuff. And he hits almost every single one of them. So I've been thinking a lot about VR meetings and VR like work, making a remote work a lot better for someone like me, who I want to, you know, work in a bunch of different Silicon Valley, San Francisco startups. I would like to get started with that now in being in Indiana. So that's one thing that is definitely coming, is like meetings in VR, working in VR, because teams are going to be globally all over the world. So that's going to be coming. Not only like headsets, but he mentions VR, like smart contact lenses that have an AR component to them. So that was pretty fascinating. And apparently he says there's a lot of companies like that are already doing this. So it's very interesting. So executing smart contract. Oh, okay. That, yeah. Let me see here. Yeah, there's a few different things that are really interesting. Well, let me I know that, I guess what I want to, the one, so I mentioned those two. One of the other ones was really cool. So I've been thinking about like dream recording. So he's saying there's a company that is already working on this. Let me.
Fans of people inside fMRIs, and then we're showing them lots and lots of images. Might be pictures, it might be a pick each of them in turn. So researchers at Columbia, led by Nima Mezgarani, have literally turned.
Okay, here it is. So, yeah, look, Columbia, because I didn't hear about this. I used to research this all the time. Like, who's working on dream recording? Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm fascinated by my dreams, and I would love to, like, replay my dreams in VR. And apparently this is coming. So take a listen to this here.
Turn brainwaves into speech. So here's what they did. They found epilepsy patients that were already getting brain surgery. So we had the skull open. They inserted probes into the brain to capture brain activity, and they had people listen to people talking. They used the brainwaves that resulted and trained a voice synthesizer. So exactly the same thing that's in Alexa today. So we're going to listen to this interpretation.
Oh, yeah, check this
so
out.
So before I hit play, let me just say, look, this is the very first start of it. The voice doesn't sound all that great, and it sounds a little robotic, but we're listening to brainwaves interpreted directly into an audio stream. So I'm going to hit play, and you're going to listen to the brainwave driving a voice synthesizer, listening to somebody read the numbers 0 through 9. Here's what that sounds like.
0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, that's pretty fascinating. So that's, man, dream recording is something. So I'm really going to pay attention to this. So I want to make sure I open up that link or I can find that. So this article, because I want you guys to hear about
this too. Out of all the products that I talked about, and that's the dream recorder. But I want to share two amazing research projects that demonstrate we're on our way. We have a path forward. If you're going to record dreams, you need two things. You need to interpret brain signals, the brain's electrical activities, and turn that into audio and video. So let's take each of them in turn. So researchers at Columbia.
I wonder if I can. So there's an image here of this article. I'm trying to see if I can bring this up. Sorry, I didn't do this before. I'm gonna just look at this, see if I can look up the title. Columbia Engineers. Yeah, so here, yep. All right, I will include this link in the description because this is really fascinating to me, and I hope it is to you guys too. All right, I want to move on because we are at the 18-minute mark. So let me go into the last two. So there's this one podcast from Boy, I got too many tabs open here, guys. Where is it? Okay, yeah. So this is out of the Wondery podcast, Wondery.com. It's called The Next Big Idea. This podcast is, yeah, I remember I subscribed to it a while ago and just haven't really listened much to it, but it's really good. I know it's a few different people like Adam Grant. Yeah, Susan Cain, Adam Grant, Daniel Pink, which I love all of those. Malcolm Gladwell, too. And so this podcast in particular featured Yancey Strickler. He was the founder and CEO of Kickstarter, which Kickstarter is really cool. I thought it was a very neat company, good idea. And boy, I really liked. And because he has this new book called This Could Be Our Future. And I haven't read the book yet, but it's a very good premise. This was a great episode. And it's all about transforming our world into a more kind and generous place. So basically, the gist of it, and I'll include this in the description. Well, he kind of has a Peter Thiel vibe to it. It's a why aren't we innovating more in the world of atoms? Now that's kind of Thiel's philosophy, but Yancey's saying the same thing. There has been a huge shift ever since 1973. After 73, there has been kind of this huge shift into hyper-capitalism and financial maximization, and it's just, it's been, yes, we have made a lot of progress, and we're still doing very good in terms of, human history, but we're not, this whole idea of kind of winner take all, financial maximization, so it's all about getting as much as for me, getting as much as possible for me, and, the zero sum game, the winner take all, and it's just gotten out of hand, and this is not the world we want to continue to live in, I agree with it so much, And that's the kind of this again. That's basically the whole gist I got. Where he goes with it. There's just a lot of examples he gives. So take a listen to that. It's a very good one. And get his book if you can, Yancey Strickler. Very very insightful. And then I came across one last night, actually. This was, and it's along the same things. Chamath Palihapitiya, you guys probably heard him. He's from Social Capital. This was a YouTube video, an interview. It was like a month ago, but he's basically saying the same thing. And both of them, they got really rich off of tech too, but it's funny because now they're saying, okay, well, no, now it's becoming a problem. So it is funny. I don't know if there's a little hypocrisy there, but I know their hearts are in the right places. But, I always love when he talks. He's Chamath has a very, very strong, opinionated person, but he makes a lot of sense. And so I'll include the link in the description again. But yeah, he talks about, they both are kind of the same thing. Chamath kind of says it a little differently. I know he uses the term hyper-capitalism. Yancey kind of says this financial maximization, but it's the same thing. It's, all these tech companies are, I don't know. They're just, it's like the WeWork story is like the biggest case study of this. WeWork and Masatoshi Son of the Vision Fund, these high, crazy high evaluations for something that's not even that impactful for society. It just really isn't. And there's tons of examples of startups out there that are doing this, do we really need a dog walking app? Do we need another food delivery startup? Do we need, but these companies are getting millions and valued at so much. But we're not seeing true innovation. We are not seeing humanity really plunge into, doing great work. We're just not seeing it. And that's why, because all these shareholders, all these investors are wanting their returns. And it just makes me think about, okay, well, maybe it is time to do something differently. Maybe this whole startup, all these startups looking to get rich and everyone's looking to get rich off of them, maybe we need a better system. And then Chamath talks about Facebook is going to be the first one to get broken up. So, and then that's interesting. And so it begs the question, I know Mark Andreessen talked about, well, what are we even going to see companies in the 2030s, 2040, is it going to be blockchain based? Are we going to see mega $1 billion companies and individuals? Maybe we'll see a more decentralized, fairer future. Maybe we will. Anyways, I want to leave it there. You guys can take a watch to these because they're really good. They go by quick. They're really good information. Makes you think. I like things that make you think, but that aren't too dragged out. I don't like big history lessons. I just need to, you know, chew on something useful. So, and that's what this podcast is about. All right, guys. Everything will be included in the description. Go contact these people if you're interested. And stay hungry. Stay after it. I will see you in the next episode. All right. Have a good one.